All right, we are recording. This is our January bonus call 2021. And if you are, obviously, if you're not able to stay for this entire call, you can watch the recording. We get that uploaded usually by Monday of the following week. We'll send an email with an announcement Monday or Tuesday. I have my editor edit it out. So edit out all the mishaps and such. So this is how it works. If you're new to the call, I basically take all the videos that have been sent in, all the questions, and I start going through the techniques and the concepts that can help you improve. And the thing that I want you to keep in mind is that we are teaching a system. So even though I'm not reviewing your serve or your forehand, I'm like a broken record. I'll be saying the same things 80% of the time. There will be some nuances and details for individual players, but you will start to hear the same languaging over and over again. And if you follow these concepts, you have a much better chance of improving. So the first question I actually want to, what I want to handle tonight, and the other thing you'll have to stay with me on, is that there's a lot of jumping back and forth with videos and getting into the membership. That's just part of the deal here. So be patient with me on that. I am going to open up the membership area because there was a question that came up around navigation. So I want to help you all find what you need to find inside the membership. So we're just going to touch on that real quickly. And I'm going to go over some key things to be aware of. So I'm sharing my screen now. You should be able to see it. And we are inside the membership portal. So first off, when you log in, and I know a lot of you are old hat, someone did ask, did we create a new logo? Yes, I'm playing with a new logo right now. So that's new. When you first log in to the membership portal, you will see, once you scroll down a bit here, you will see there are three membership levels. You all are either a gold member or a platinum member. Platinum, you get all access. Gold, you get 14 courses. So you don't get as much content. Platinum is pretty much the whole kit and caboodle. Then you have your foundation courses, and then you have your mastery courses. The mastery courses go in much more depth, cover a lot more footwork, a lot more how-to progressions than you'll see in the foundational courses. So it just, if you really want to go deep, you'll check out the mastery courses, which you get as a platinum member as well. And then finally, we have fitness and nutrition programs down here. Now, the question that came in tonight was around a shadow strokes or shadow stroke workouts. And it is hard to find some of the content in here if you don't know where to go. So here's what I want to point out. First off, when you are in the membership portal, so if you're a gold member, for example, what I do is I have six modules that you can follow. So you can scan these six modules that technically would cover about 6 months of content. And you can find the different areas you want to improve: your foundation, your serve return, your footwork, more technique, next level stuff, some more advanced stuff, and then strategies. And you can also find all the recordings from the past, 4 or 5 years. Then we also have start to add more bonus lessons in. When we do calls, I add lessons in that seem to be coming up that might not be in this success journey area. And the bonus lessons you'll find, you'll see bonus serve lessons, you'll see bonus serve drills. So if you really want to just quickly go to where the drills are located, you can go here. And then we've put a whole section in on bonus forehand footwork, because a lot of people are asking about footwork on the forehand side. We're going to be adding backhand bonus footwork as well. I put in bonus volley footwork as well. And then, as I alluded to earlier, the injury prevention area, I think that everyone should be going in here and downloading. I guess you can't download these videos, so I apologize. We'll have to, now that I said it, I'll have to make sure you can download it. A lot of these exercises are also in the foundation courses for the serve. But if you're doing these six exercises right now, you are probably going to decrease your chance of injury by 50, 75, maybe even 100%. I mean, these are really huge exercises. There was a comment about the hip 90-90 twist that a lot of folks can't get into that position. So we do not have a modification as of yet in the membership. So I'll have to create that. But I was saying last week, and I'll just stand up real quick. This is, if you've ever seen pigeon pose in yoga, and when you watch the video, you can do a modified version. If you're able to get your leg up on a high stool like this. You can practice stretching, or you could put a bolster or a pillow underneath your hips. But these six exercises, I would be doing them 3 times a week minimum. And they will open up your body. They will help you be able to rotate your spine so you can serve better. They're going to create more resilience, more strength, mobility, and stability in your body. And then these exercises are great for you learning how to load your legs. A lot of people have a hard time loading their legs, and there's a lot of single leg balance stuff in those four exercises. So, and then finally, this bionic shoulder routine I learned from Greg Rose, who's one of my mentors. We happen to be doing a seminar tomorrow with Racket Fit, and I'm the kind of the technical consultant, and he is the body expert. He's got a great shoulder routine that I learned from him, and he learned it from the gentleman that is actually Tom Brady's quarterback's coach. And so he learned it from him. He's worked with a lot of Major League Baseball players, golfers, NFL quarterbacks. And if you do this 3 times a week, you'll have bulletproof shoulders. So these are the best of the best. I mean, I've learned these exercises from Greg and from my physical therapist that I work with, Brad Ott, up in Loveland. And so again, when you're thinking about improving your game, and some of you are not spring chickens, making sure that your mobility and your stability is on point will allow you to play your best tennis in your 50s, 60s, and 70s. And again, Greg Rose tells me that you should be spending the amount of time you should be spending on your training off the court matches your age. So in other words, if you're 65 years old, you should be spending 65% of your time on mobility. If you're 40 years old, you spend 40% of your time. And if you're 8 years old, you can spend 8% of your time on mobility. So the older you get, the more time you want to be spending on these corrective exercises. And of course, if you're a platinum member, you get access to all of our flexibility program, strength and mobility, and home tennis workouts. Now, the question that came in was around shadow stroke workouts. Now, there are different areas where you can kind of put together shadow strokes, you know, find them in the different sections. But what I wanted to point out where you can find a really good resource for this. And again, I want to point out, I do hear some background noise. So if you could please mute your phone, that would be really helpful. Thank you. If you come down to the baseline footwork program, where is that? Again, if you could please mute yourself, and I will be unsharing in a moment to find who that is if you haven't muted in a couple minutes. So right here, if you come to bonus shadow stroke footwork, you'll find some great workouts in here where you can practice different types of footwork. And we also have in this section right here, no ball, no problem. I film these videos from a driveway. You can do footwork training here and follow along with these two lessons. So if you come to baseline footwork and you go to these two areas right here, you can really get going with the shadow strokes and the shadow footwork that you can be practicing. And typically the mastery courses also have that as well. If you look in the mastery courses, so if you're a gold member and you want access to mastery, you would need to upgrade to platinum. You can send me an email and I can help you with that. So with that being said, I'm going to stop the share and I'm going to try to find out who. I think I got the person. Okay, so we're good there. I'm just going to look at a few of the chat comments that have come in. Amir, preference would be the half serve video. I've already improved the forehand hitch and more active catching of the racket. Awesome. Or the full serve video. Danny asked, did you change your logo? Yes, we did. Raul said, how about knee injury prevention? So funny that you said that. I've recently come across a mentor of mine that I am following. And, you know, I've been studying the human body in tennis for tennis and the human body, different things and mindset now going on about 25 years, because when I had my injuries in my mid 20s, I went on a search, a quest, if you will, to unlock why my body was failing me at 24 years old. And so I've worked with some of the best of the best. And I can honestly tell you that if I was studying some of the people that I've I'm so grateful that I know them now and get to study with them now. But if they had been in my corner when I was 25 or 30, I would have had a much better career. So when it comes to the knee injury and prevention, Raul, I'm going to type in into the chat box. I'm going to type this in. If you have an Instagram account, I want you to go search for this guy. His name on Instagram is Knees Over Toes Guy. Okay, Knees Over Toes Guy. And I've been following him. He studied under a gentleman by the name of Charles Poliquin, who trained many Olympic athletes and unfortunately passed away last year. But the Knees Over Toes Guy, his name's Ben, he is brilliant. And I've been following him now for several months, and his whole thing is getting rid of knee pain. So Raul, I want you to check out Knees Over Toes. And then at a later date, I'll be creating content around these exercises. But basically what you want to do is you want to create more full range of motion when you do lunges. And I know that sounds crazy if you have knee pain, but if you go to Knees Over Toes, you can study what he's talking about. You also want to be strengthening your hamstrings. You also want to be strengthening your tib anterior, which is the muscle that is right in front of your shins, basically. So you want to be strengthening those muscles as well. So he's got a whole protocol that you can follow. I think as of right now, he claims that he has 1,900 knee success stories. And so this is a guy that had 3 surgeries before he was 20, and his vertical jump was 18 inches. And now he's jumping 42 inches and dunking and doing windmill dunks. And he learned this system, and now he's teaching it to the world. So Raul, you can totally change it. I would get on that program, and I'm going to be, again, making more content later this year around that. Okay. All right. So we're going to go back now, and we are going to jump into some videos. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at folks that I have not worked with yet, and make sure I give them some time. So Amir, we're going to start with you tonight. And because of time, what I'm going to do, I'm sharing my screen now. I'm just going to close down this window. Here's Amir. So what I'm going to do is I'm not going to read your explanation of your game to everybody. I'm just going to tell you what I see and tell you what I would work on. And then, you know, we can follow up later. Another thing that I want to mention, you know, these calls, you can tell I'm like fast and furious right now. I'm rushing. I know we're going to be on for an hour and a half. We've already been on for 20 minutes, and I'm still not going to get through all the lessons. So keep in mind, I'm going to move fast and furious. If you want more time one-on-one, if you want me to slow down, if you want the progressions, then email me and we can talk about what the one-on-one VIP coaching looks like. Okay. All right. So Amir, we are going to get this party started here. Sorry, I'm just going to close down a few windows here. Okay. Here we go. So remember, when I analyze this video, this will pertain to you, because as Christy knows, and Christy is one of my students that's on the call tonight, and as Herman knows, I am a broken record. I teach the same concepts. I don't deviate. I like progression. So imagine that you decided to take up karate. So let me set some context here. Imagine that you wanted to start karate. And the way I look at it is, if you walked into the dojo and you started doing all these complicated moves, you essentially would be graduating all the way to blue belt or brown belt, or, you know, wanting to be a black belt. But what I find that happens in tennis, and I'll explain why this happens in a moment, is that we skip all the steps that happened at white belt and yellow belt. And we just go out and we hit the ball and we play our points, and then we go home, and that's that. And there's an element in tennis of fun. Like, it's all about having fun and running around, and technique doesn't matter, and let's just have a good time. That's great. So don't worry about the belt system there. Go have a good time. But if you want to change your technique, if you're really interested in upgrading your technique and integrating it into your game, knowing you're going to play tennis for the next 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, then you need to look at this a little bit differently. You have your game that you compete with, that you play with your friends, and then you have your future game, what that's going to look like. And so just keep that in mind. that when I am breaking down technique right now, I'm not expecting you to go out tomorrow and try to serve with this new technique. It's really hard to make changes. This is something that you're going to do on your own time over time. So just keep in mind that the things I point out here are things that we see all the time, and I'm always working on helping folks. So the first thing, let's just look at the serve here. And it's a half serve motion. And I'm actually going to pull up my serve, Amir, so you can see a comparison, and that will really help you understand where we're going with this. So, so the first thing that I see with the half serve, and we'll look at your first serve as well. Okay, so I want you to notice, Amir, how I'm set up. So your foundation is everything. This is the white belt, yellow belt stuff. Get your foundation to improve. Even if you can improve it 15 or 20%, it can make a difference. So I want you to notice my stance. Notice where my foot is, my back foot, and notice where my racket is. See how my racket is on the right side of the body. Now, if we come over to your serve, side by side, what I want you to see, and others can chime in as well, is I want you to see where your racket is, okay, in relation to where my racket is. So what I would like to see you do is I'd like to see you move your hand so it's more to the right over here. Now, a lot of folks will say, why are you so adamant about this? And the reason why is I want to teach players to learn how to turn. And if you already start, you're essentially already a little more turned than I am. So that would lend itself to you not turning as much. Now, I think your stance is pretty good. However, in the ad court, I think you could turn a little bit more towards the net so you won't be as turned. Look at how I'm in the ad court. So it's okay to be more turned. So I would just reposition the feet so this foot's a little more pointed, just a little bit, and this one's probably parallel. Okay, parallel to the baseline. You're a little too turned on the deuce court, but I'd like to see this hand move over to look more like mine, okay? To promote more of a turn. So let's see what happens next. So the next move here, so when you toss the ball, you do a pretty good job of turning, okay? So I like that, but I want you to see the difference, all right? And watch when I turn, and I realize I don't have the ball, but I'm turning a lot more than you are. So I want you to see the difference there. And I'll actually go to a rep where I actually toss the ball so you know I'm not just making this up. All right. So I want you to see is as I'm look at where my racket is, and as I toss the ball, look at my body right there. Okay. And so look at your body. Look at the difference. So I would say there, and we see this a lot with players, is there isn't a lot of turn or coil. Now, this goes back to what I said 10 minutes ago about the body correction exercises. I can tell you till you're blue in the face to keep trying to turn more like me or Roger Federer, but if your body can't do it, if your body has a restriction, your body won't go there. The body is a protection mechanism. It's going to protect you from injury. So I want you to look at this twofold here. The first is how can I learn to turn with my technique? So how can I mimic Jeff's position a little bit more? Doesn't have to look exactly like mine, but try to get the shoulders to turn a little bit more. And how can I learn to rotate my body by doing the corrective exercises? So there's a couple in there that will really help. The belly lift, the thoracic rotation, those will help a lot. So that's the number one thing I would work on in the next week. The next 2 weeks, the next 3 weeks is seeing if I can get a little bit more turn. Because what you'll see is look at where my hand is at the finished position. You see how my hand is well away from my head. It's really cleared away from my head. But your hand is still in line with your ear. I'd like to sketch your hand and your elbow over here behind your head a little bit more. That elbowing the enemy concept. So I want you to watch the elbow the enemy lesson. I want you to study the half serve drill. And I want you to come back to me and see how you're able to improve. The next part I want to point out is when you go to hit the ball. Now, I don't know if you're going to be jumping or not when you actually serve. But right now, you're not jumping. And it does look like Here's the thing. It looks like, I don't know if your grip is true continental. So the other drill that I would consider, let me pull these drills up. I have a whole library of drills, and these are the drills that are in that serve drill area. So I've got all these drills here. I would take a look at this topspin drill. Whoops. This topspin drill right here, Amir. So I would take a look at this entire lesson, because what you're going to see is, for example, when I make contact with this ball right here, I want you to see the difference. Now, remember, I'm exaggerating topspin here, okay? So this isn't going to be your final serve, but what I want you to see is, look at my body right there as I'm going up to the ball. And I want you to see your body as you go up to the ball. Now, what's different? First of all, I'm hitting a topspin serve, you're not. So it's not like this is going to be more extreme because my toss has shifted over my head. But I want you to see, look at the bowing of my body here. You see that bow? That's created because my body can go there. I'm not sure your body can go there. That's what's so valuable about the work I do with Racket Fit, is we assess players and then we find out if they can actually get in these positions. But you can see that you're not able to arch your body or open up your chest as much as I can. And you can also see that my hand is well below my elbow there. I shouldn't say well below, but it's below. And you can see this hand right here is above this elbow. And that's happening because your grip is not quite towards continental and because you're not able to open up the chest. So what I'd love to see is, when you make contact, if you notice, look where you're making contact here. When you're working on your serve, I'd love to see that toss come a little bit more to the left. Doesn't have to come as far to the left as what I'm doing, but this drill can help you understand the swing path. Okay, so the number one thing I would play with, the reason I'm showing you this video is to actually work on your grip, to get the grip to move over towards the backhand. So it's going to be more of a continental. And then I would also work on, like I said, the first move turn with the half serve drill. Now, let me just take a quick look at your full serve video. And let's see what happens here. So here's what's interesting. I actually think in your first, there's a couple things going on. In your first move here, this actually is a better turn than when you're doing the half serve drill. So if you can take your half serve and get more of your elbow going this way, see how your elbow is going this way more? It's a little bit more this way with your full serve, then that would be better. But as you're doing that, you're going to learn how to close the racket face. So what I like about the half serve is that now your racket face is more closed. But when you are in the half serve and you turn like this, you need to feel like your racket is parallel to the ground like this, instead of up like this or open like this. So I like that you've gone to the half serve to close the racket face, but you're going to have to exaggerate more and almost feel like it's a bow and arrow with the palm down like this. So I'd work on that first move this week, and I'd try to work on the grip with this topspin drill. Okay. Hope that makes sense. Let me know if you have any questions. We're going to move to the next video. We are going to move to a junior player, Youssef. He is 10 years old, and his father sent in a video of the forehand. So we're going to jump around tonight a little bit because it was next in line for me to check out. So Youssef has his forehand here. Okay. So let's talk about the forehand. Okay. So we'll watch it in real time. Okay. So here's where we need to go with this. And I'm going to pull up now. I've got some other lessons to pull up that we can show. We can show some differences here. We're going to show this one. Okay. All right. So Youssef, nice little player, 10 years old. Looks like he's got a good energy. Here's what I want to show you. Common thing that I see with players. So first off, I want you to notice his first move. So why don't we go ahead? Let's make this a little more interactive. Type in the chat box what you would change with the first move, basically to right here. So from his ready position right here, this part right here, all the way to this moment. Is there anything that you would change? So you're going to type in the chat box. Don't be shy. David says, bent arm, remove the left hand much earlier, turn the hip, turns the hips too much, hips hitting elbow too low. All right. You know what? I think I'm going to retire and I'm going to let all of you guys be Tennis Evolution coaches because you're telling me a lot of great stuff. So nice job. Get the right elbow back. So I always, when I'm teaching, and I was just doing that with the half serve drill for Amir, is I'm teaching positions. Okay. Can you get into different positions and progressions to become a black belt in karate, to become a master at tennis? So it's all about position. Arm too straight, could be more relaxed. So you all hit on the head. Here's the first thing I would do if I was giving a lesson. I would work on this first move where when he's moving the racket here, look at how low this hand is right here. So personally, I like to have the hand, the dominant hand, at about at least chest height. So I know this video is a little bit smaller, but that's my first move with the hand at about chest height. So I like to feel like this hand right here is at shoulder or chest height at the lowest. And if we look at the young man right here, his hand is down by his waist. So what would happen is if I told this young man to bring his racket or his hand up to his shoulder like this, do you think he would take it out straight like this? He might do that. But I'm thinking that if we just get his hand up like this, then now this arm is going to be bent. And somebody pointed that out. So we need a bent arm and we need the elbow away and we need the hand at about shoulder height for him, maybe chest height, maybe shoulder height with the elbow away. So it should look like this with the first move. And remember, tennis is like a domino effect. So if you don't get the first move right, it's a chain reaction. Things are going to be off down the road. So that's the number one thing I would do is the first move, elbow away, arm bent and relaxed. Somebody else commented on that. That's the first thing I would do. Now, someone else made a great point. Look at how this offhand holds on to the racket. And someone said, let go of the offhand too long. Now, my guess is that Youssef's father has been watching videos on YouTube because we see Federer, he'll hold on to the racket and other players and they break parallel, what I call breaking parallel. This offhand will break parallel. And so what I want players to do is in this case, don't model the pros. So sometimes we want to model the pros, sometimes we don't. The reason being is that if you hold on too long like that, what might happen? You're going to be late, especially if the ball comes fast. So what I like is I like the player to release their hand about right there. So when you get to parallel with this off arm, you would be taking the racket off. So I like to even be in this position right here where my hands are separated. They're still connected, but my off hand is separated off the racket and my hand is parallel as I take my racket back to this position. So we see two things now. We want to get this arm bent and relaxed and the hand higher. We want to release the offhand right here. And that's what I would do. I would do that for the next 30 days. I wouldn't complicate it. I would improve the first move. But since we're going to continue on here to give a few more tips, that's what we're going to do. Look how low that hand is. I like to see the hand. Higher here. The other thing we haven't talked about is the grip. I think the grip is pretty far over towards Western. So we might want to try to tweak the grip and get it more towards semi-Western. This backswing looks a little bit big, but you'll see this in younger players. I don't always try to correct that right away because they're trying to find ways to get power. But again, if we correct this first move and get the hands away instead of the hands down, that might actually improve. Okay. I think the grip is something to look at. And I think the first move is something to look at. Now, the next thing is with the feet. And I don't know if Mama Bear is still on or Miles is still on. They made a cameo appearance. This technical talk might have bored them, but if they're still here, I'm gonna give an ode to my stepfather, Miles, who's on the call tonight. He's old school. He wants me stepping into the ball, right? Get on the front foot. This ball is coming slow, and Youssef actually gets over there and hits off his open stance, and he lifts this leg. The only time you want to do this is when you're deep in the court and you're out on the sideline and the ball is really high and you need to jump up to the ball. That's the only time it should look like this. Otherwise, we should see Youssef stepping in on the front foot and hitting this forehand like this. So let's see what I do here. Watch me step in. See how I'm on my front foot? Now, I shouldn't be this crossed over, but I'm probably going to square up a little bit afterwards. Yeah, I square up. I'll see another forehand. So I want Youssef stepping in on that forehand. Okay, watch this. Look at my forehand here. Look at how I step in. This is what Youssef should look like right now. Forehand, step in. Now look at this. Look at the height, low to high, old school. We're going old school here. So look at low to high. Look at how high my hand is and look at the extension. Now let's compare that to Youssef. He's going to hit the ball and look at where he catches it. First of all, he catches it above his shoulder. Youssef, we want you to practice catching it. Sorry. Where'd that video go? There it is. We want you, Youssef, we want you practicing catch that ball at waist height right there. Waist height. Okay, and then look at where my hand goes. Let's see, where does Youssef's hand go? See how it goes? It pretty much just goes up and then over the shoulder. So it doesn't go out. So he needs more extension. I want more old school catch the racket extension from Youssef, stepping into the ball, finishing with the hands out in front, just like this. Look at that. That's next video Youssef sends. It should look like this at the end. And this gets back to position, everyone. When you're out on the court, can you make your forehand look more like this at the end instead of open stance, this foot off the ground? That base isn't very stable. So there's a lot to work on, but the cool thing is if you know the checkpoints, if you know, okay, we got to tweak the grip a little bit. We got to work on the first move. We got to work on extension. There's like five things here. Now, instead of going out and trying to fix all five, here's what I would do. I would tell Youssef, I'd like, listen, we're going to work on your first move. Okay. We're not going to worry about the grip right now. We're going to work on the first move and you're going to get on that front foot every time. Get on the front foot, step in, unless the ball gets too high. And then you're going to work on extending and catching that racket. 1, 2, 3, first move, front foot, catch the racket. If that's too much, I'll simplify and actually I'll have him just catch the racket out in front and we won't worry about the move yet. You'll pick one of the three to do. Maybe it's just get on your front foot for now. But that's the three-step checklist that I would do with Youssef. Okay. We're going to keep moving here. Let's move to Coach Jeremy here. I'm just going to go right down the list. And again, make sure there is a mute on. I'm just going to double check. Yeah, I think I got. Okay. So Jeremy sent in a couple of videos of a student. This is an older student right here. I got my drills ready. Here we go. Okay. Let's watch this serve. It's an advanced player. Now, from the naked eye, you might say, wow, I mean, this guy's got a serve, you know, and he does. He's got a good serve, but there's still room for improvement. Now, normally I like to see a back view because what I'd like to see is what the turn looks like. I can't tell how much he's turning there, how much he's coiling. But overall, from this eye, it looks pretty good. Looks like this player has modeled Federer a bit. I think he could be a little bit more forward on his front foot, a little bit more. That's just a minor thing. Let me pull up Federer for you so you can see what I'm talking about. You can see the difference here. And again, this is a minor thing. This is not something that's a game changer, but it's something to be aware of. Notice how all of the weight is off of the front foot here and how the racket's really hanging. And his racket is hanging, but he's not as far forward as Federer. But again, this is, I'm getting in the weeds here. This is, that's not a game breaker. I'm just pointing out something he could consider, get a little more forward so he could go a little bit more back, but not a big deal. So let's watch what happens next. Again, it looks like he's modeled Federer. So again, he's moving the racket. Look at where the racket is when he releases the ball. It is pretty high. And I would say it's at the top edge of kind of what I think is acceptable within range. If you look at Federer when he releases the ball, it's pretty similar. My guess though, is that this player is not turning as much as Federer, but you can also see Federer's racket's a little bit lower, but again, he's still in range. So we're in good shape. Again, I think he's a Federer model from what I can see. And again, I can't see what his lower back is doing. If he has what's called an S posture, but overall it's looking pretty good so far. The only thing I see from this angle, Jeremy, is something called breaking the plane. So if you draw a line from the front of the face parallel to the spine, this racket breaks over the plane. And by the way, Djokovic does this as well. So again, not necessarily a game changer, just something to be aware of. What that tells me is he doesn't do a great job of loading his back leg. So earlier in the call, when I showed the four exercises where you load the back leg and do the mini squats, I would have him do a heavy dose of this because he's already on the right track. Again, I can't see the turn, so I'm not sure. But to get him to load his back leg better and to see if he can get the racket to lay back so that it stays on the left side of this, this line, if I draw through the front of the face, because right there it leaks over. It's called breaking the plane. And so I would look at that. Again, a lot of high-level players do it. So it doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means he could use his body more efficiently. You can kind of see here, watch this, look at his stance, and I'll go find my, let me go find my video real quick. This is very advanced here, what we're talking about. So those, this is the example. This is kind of the 20%. This is not stuff that you all would necessarily be trying to change. I'm just giving you a little bit of little taste test of, you know, kind of what that next level is. You know, if Djokovic called me and said, I want help on my serve technique, we would talk about this, but I don't think he's probably not looking for that type of refinement, but I want you to see the difference, everybody. So you can see right here, our stances are pretty similar. Our knees are about the same distance apart and our racket's in a similar position. Here's what I want you to see. Is when I push, see how my knees stay the same amount apart, the same distance apart. My back leg doesn't collapse in. And if I draw a line from the front of my face down parallel through the spine, this racket stays on the left side of my body. But if you watch this leg, it collapses in right there. See how his knee collapses in? That tells me that he either has a hip stability issue or an ankle mobility issue. So we want to improve his ankle mobility, his hip stability, and we want to learn to load the leg so that knee, we want that knee to drive off of the back leg better. And that could fix the breaking the plane. And what I was saying earlier is we want to see if that racket can kind of flip down like this, Jeremy, instead of breaking over here. He's just trying to get more power because he's not loading the back leg enough. Let me see if there's any comments. The plane, Christy says, everyone talks about the birthday hat. Is that the same? Yeah, I would need to see the birthday hat from the side view. But my guess is that a lot of people now going forward, if they're focusing on the birthday hat, are going to be plane breakers. And, you know, the jury is still out on whether that's going to do more harm than good. I understand the concept, keeping the racket face closed. But I think it could be creating other possible other challenges. It would be nice to see a side view if that's really happening. Sure thing. Glad to hear the birthday hat is not essential. Shadow swinging, it seems strange to me. Yeah, I mean, I'd need to see it again, but I think it's an over-exaggeration. However, Amir, when I look at your serve, you open your racket face. So I could see where the birthday hat would have value. So we're going to have to figure out the next couple of months if it's a direction to go, or if you should actually just work on, the way I look at it is just keep your palm of your hand parallel to the ground. Keep the hand parallel. So instead of thinking of the birthday hat like this, you think of just elbowing the enemy and keeping your palm down. And that's what I think can actually give people a bigger result, better result. Okay, so Jeremy, I know you have another video of a younger player, so I'm going to touch on that one now. So this one, the younger player, first thing I see, and Jeremy actually texted me earlier today, so I kind of already spilled the beans, but I don't think his grip is continental there. So that topspin serve drill, or even serving over a fence and hitting up on the ball, he's got to get that grip over towards backhand, and he might be hitting serves in the bottom of the net because he needs to learn how to serve with that topspin grip. You know, like what I would do with him, and it wouldn't necessarily be hitting over the net, but picture Djokovic, when he starts, his racket face is open on his serve like this. It's turned up, and your player is turned down like this, like he's going to hit a flat serve. So if you force it to turn up, he's going to have to move his grip. Otherwise, it's going to look weird with his wrist. So he's going to turn his grip towards backhand, racket's going to be up, and he's going to learn how to hit topspin on the serve. So that's number one. Number two is, notice how he bends his knees. We see this a lot. He bends his knees before he tosses the ball. So this is something I talk about with the, I call it straight bend, meaning look at how straight my legs are here. My legs are straight. I don't start bending till I'm releasing the ball. And you see a lot of players bend as they're tossing, or, you know, before they toss. See how he's bending and he hasn't released. So his legs need to be straight like Roger. Watch this. See how, look how straight Roger's legs are, and look at, he starts to bend there. Okay. He bends even maybe a little sooner than I do. Just going to clear this out. Okay. So you see how he's already started to bend. What I would do is I would make sure his legs stay straight at least till about there. I also see something with his tossing arm while he's kind of cupping his hand like this. I would try to get the palm more neutral like this. So if you look at how I'm tossing, I got maybe a little bit of a cup, but he looks a little bit more curled than me. And then he kind of opens his fingers. I would try to get it where it's more like this instead of like this. Hope that makes sense. Now, when he tosses the ball, look at where the racket is. I always like to look at where's the racket in space. And this goes back to, look at his racket. It's closed. Federer's racket is closed. This one is opening. And then if we look at, and I'll just go right there right now, the three-quarter serve drill is a big one for players. Let me see if I can find the drill. Just give me a minute. There it is. Okay. So look at the difference. Look at the difference. When I toss this ball, see how my racket face is closed right here? The arm can be straight like Federer. The arm can be straight like Federer, or the arm can bend like me. But in both cases, the racket strings are closed. So his racket strings are completely open, and now he's got a trophy position with this totally open. So it's never going to look like this. So Amir kind of has a little bit of that going on when he does his full motion where he opens the racket face. So we need to get to that trophy position. Goes back again, half serve and three quarters drill. I keep saying, don't let anybody serve in a full motion until they can do the half serve with proficiency, or they can do the three quarters serve with proficiency. Don't even let them play sets until their serve looks like this in the trophy position. So if you go play a practice set, serve from the half position or the three quarters position. I say half position first, that's your white belt. Then I say three quarters, that's your maybe green belt. And then full motion, now we're brown and black belt. No reason to serve from a full motion if your racket gets into this position. Jeremy, I'd also work on getting the tossing arm straighter. So with him, I would do, with this player, I would do a lot of half serve, three quarter serve, and trophy position holds. So every lesson, this player should get to this position right here with his eyes closed and hold it for 10 seconds and then relax and do three or four or five or six or 10 more sets. And then that should be his homework at home. Every day he has to get to this position, because I'm hoping over time, listen up everybody, I'm hoping over time that this player looks more like this in this position. We're not going to really be able to get a lot of great technique in unless it starts looking more like this. So focus on the beginning of the motion to the trophy and don't worry about what happens after. Don't worry about the racket drop, the contact, any of that stuff. Get his position, his trophy position, even just put him in this position every day and let him feel that. Because he's got the legs to do it. We can improve the legs later, but it looks pretty good. This kid's an athlete, it looks like. He's got a live arm. He's jumping. I mean, this kid's got it, right? But we have to give him a proficient trophy position. So work on the grip, work on the top spin motion for the grip, and then work on half serve, trophy position hold, and three quarter serve. Okay. Amir says, understood. I noticed that Shapovalov's serve is quite similar to yours, and he does not do the birthday hat either. We'll work on, yes, correct. That is correct. Shapovalov is right out of my playbook on the serve. Jeremy says, when we hit kick serves with him, his grip is much better, needs to improve it with the flat serve. So the way I would look at it, Jeremy, is I don't think I would even let him hit flat serves. I would just have him only hit with that grip. And if he wants to think of hitting it flat, that's fine, whatever, but he has to keep that grip and it's more of a topspin serve. Jeff, having a bad trophy position can affect consistency. Long-term, yes. If you're not a big server and you're just getting the ball in, it might not matter. But if you want to learn how to impart topspin, topspin is what gives you control. So if you learn topspin, then you can do anything with the ball. And you can't hit topspin if your racket face is open. It's impossible. David says, can we just take a moment to appreciate the fact that Jeff learned to serve with his right hand so we have something to compare with? Well, you all can appreciate me. You can clap all you want, but guess what? I can't do anything with my right hand. So David, if you didn't know this already, the videos have been flipped. We really need to thank my video editor. He's the one kicking butt, making sure that everyone left-handed or right-handed can take a look. Okay. All right. Moving. Yes, exactly. Thank the editor to get for the righties. Okay. We're at 6:59. We got another half an hour to go, I'd say. If you have to bump off, just keep in mind we do these recordings. We're good. We're going to bring up David Lee next. David Lee is next. So we're going to share the screen. And David is a lefty. So he's one of these that benefits from me being a lefty. We do have left-handed content in the course. All right. Have fun, Austin. Or wait. Have fun, Amir. Austin, did you have a chance for further critique the forehand video? Yeah, Austin, I'll take a look at that. I'll take a look at that next, actually. Okay. So, David, let's take a look at what he's doing with his serve. Okay. David, I can't remember what it was like before, but I do like what you're doing here. Okay. Look how straight the tossing arm is. Look at that first move. That looks right out of Federer's playbook. Nice going, David. So I'm a fan. I like the narrow stance. I'm good with it. Nice going. Now, this is where things break a little bit. Just when I was thinking, oh my gosh, David, you're world-class, buddy. You are world-class. You're world-class right to there, okay? Right here, you're pretty good, okay? We're going to talk about this, but here's where you get in a little bit of trouble. And William, who's on the call tonight, he's got the same thing going on. What's happening is, first off, I don't see a lot of push from the back leg. You know, you really come up high on your heel here. Let's look at Federer at the same stage of the motion. So we're in trophy position right here. Okay. And I want you to see his heel has come up, but not as much as yours. So you come up on your heel real early. You're already up on your heel right here. And he's barely up on his heel. So again, I go back to the exercises that I have in the injury prevention where you learn to load the back leg. I'd work on that. That's number one. I don't think it's number one priority, but that's a number one thing. The next thing we have to look at is your trophy position. So just like I told Jeremy, what I would do is I would do a daily dose of trophy position holds. I would do everything in my power to look something like that right there. Because if you look at your serve, you never really get to that position. You basically just skip right through it and start dropping the racket. So you have what's called an early racket drop. You see how your racket is dropping? I'll go back here, right? Your racket is here and you haven't started to drive up with your legs. So if you look at Federer, when he's starting to drive up right now and his racket has not dropped at all and yours has. So you have what's called an early racket drop. Again, William, this is for you as well. I don't know if we'll get to your video tonight, but we will next week if I do the bonus call. But your racket is dropping too early. So here's what I would do, David, is I would get to this position right here. This is your drill. I would get to this position, David, and I wouldn't hit the ball. I would just hold this position with my knees bent. And I would learn to load my back leg and I'd learn to get to a better position without dropping the racket. That's what I would do. And I, a lot of times what I'll do is I'll put people in that position and get it to look, you know, get it to look and feel right. You're right here. You're just holding it. You're bending your knees. It's going to burn your legs a little bit. And then what you do is when you start driving up with the legs, then you're allowed to drop the racket back, not the other way around. A lot of players, they drop the racket and then they go with their legs. So what you need to do is hold on as long as you can. This racket has to stay closed down more like this right here, as long as humanly possible, and has to stay there longer than you think. When you start to go up with your legs, then you can flip the racket back. This is a timing mechanism. This is a rhythm tempo mechanism. And I don't know, this could be hard to do, be honest with you. I don't know how easy or how hard it's going to be for you, but that's what I would do to work on it, because you're dropping your racket and your tossing arm, I'd like to see it get straighter. So work on that trophy position, get the trophy position better. If you're having a hard time straightening this arm, you could have a tight lat. So you're going to have to open up. You're going to have to do a lot of side bends and work on your side bending. Okay. Last thing, look at your offhand here. We got to get you a little more extension, both with both arms reaching up, but this arm, I can see this hand is right here as you're hitting the ball. And when I hit the ball, when I'm making contact, look at where my hand is. It's by my sternum and your hand is in front of your face. So I would work on getting it down here, but that's not as important as the first stuff that I was talking about with that trophy position. Also, what I would do is I'd put down a little mat or a towel or a, not a cone, but like one of those flat little targets. And you need to get over the baseline. And part of the reason you're not getting over the baseline is because you're not really loading the back leg. But I would put it down right here and I would get my foot over the line instead of going, you jump to the right and a little bit back. So I would be jumping forward, okay? So your formula is improve the trophy position, okay? Drop your off hand as you swing, get it to your belly button. So almost like grab your belly button or put it in your pocket. and then land over the baseline. Okay. Austin, let's take a look at your forehand. And I got to find your video. Let's see here. Got it. Okay, so we're going to look at the forehand from Austin. And I know, Austin, I made a video, a bonus video for you last week because I dropped the ball and didn't send it. So a lot of this might be on repeat of what I'm about to say, but I want to, you know, I want to obviously keep it simple and keep you focused on what's important. So, all right, so forehand here. Remember, in the system, in the Tennis Evolution system, it's about your grip. A lot of people don't have the right grip or an efficient grip. It's about the first move, and it's about your finish. If you can get those three right, I think you're 80% there. Grip, first move, and finish. And then the fourth component, of course, would be footwork. You know, how's your footwork? And then the fifth would be targets. But around technique, get your grip better, get your first move better, get your finish better. So if we look here, this is the first move, Austin. You can see right away, look how close your hand is to your face. So right away, what I would do is I would work on what's called holding the ball. Okay, so holding the ball, I made this video for you. Let me go back. I brought these lessons in. Okay, so holding the ball, I said this last week on the video, but everybody, I want you to watch. Look at the difference in the position. You see how I've let go there? That's what I was talking about. You can let go as long as the hand pulls across, but look at, I'm holding an imaginary ball here. Look at the difference. So Austin's going to be cramped. We call this alligator arms. And I'm working on holding a beach ball out here. So that's a huge thing to work on without a ball. Let's see if I have another one here. This one's racket tip up. It's a similar lesson. But again, if you look at this move I'm making him make, I'm holding the ball and the racket tip is up. So you've got your racket tip up, you just have your hands too close. So you got to just work on that. And let me look at the feet a little bit. So that's for sure the first thing. Your swing actually looks pretty good. Your grip, again, we talk about grip. You're a little bit more on the Western side, you know, closer to Western. It might be tough to make the grip change. That's why I'm endorsing a big first move. But your hand turn looks pretty good. So that's what's cool is that your finish is pretty good and your hand turn is pretty good. It's just your first move. That's going to be it. The big pushing your hands away and creating space. It's about creating space. Your footwork, let's look at that on this forehand. So what I want you to notice, and I see this a lot, look at where you're standing. A lot of club players stand just behind the baseline. So then the ball is fed, and then look what happens. Ball comes, and guess what? You're having to back up and hit off your outside leg. What if you just started the rally right there? What if you stood right where you are right now, only in the middle, so you're about 4 to 5 feet behind the baseline? That exact same ball you could step into on your front foot. You wouldn't have to back up and hit off your back foot. People say, well, Jeff, what if they hit short? What if they drop shot? Okay, well, we need to look at that. Are you getting drop shot a lot? Are you having trouble with the short ball? That may be an issue, but I would make them prove it first because more times than not, I see people having to back up when they don't need to. So I would work on that. Let's see what happens on the next ball. So right after you hit it, you moved up and let's watch what happens. Oh, now you're moving back again. What if you just stood right here and you moved up into the shot? You're off your back foot here. That one, you didn't have to move back as much, but what I want you to notice, again, if you've two shots you've moved back on. So now you just hit this forehand. What I would do is I would split step right here, split step here, but you took extra steps to get closer to the baseline. And then look, you had to kind of back up a little bit, just a little bit. Okay, you're backing up again. So to me, this is all positioning. you could hit this forehand. You just hit this forehand. Let's see what happens. Yeah, you did. Yeah. So you hit the ball, and then instead of moving forward here, you should move over and keep your distance off the baseline so that when the next ball comes, see, you moved up. Watch, you're moving up. You just moved up. Now you have to move back. So you do the opposite of what the pros are doing. The pros are standing back here, and they're moving up forward to hit the ball. You're starting on the baseline and moving back. I say I would correct club players 90% of the time on this. I rarely see club players, even junior players, get the right positioning. Okay. That doesn't mean you stand back here and you wait for the ball to drop. You still get up to it if it's short, but this is going to keep you from moving back as much on your shots. I am going to pop over. I'm going to look at Lonnie's. I'm going to look at Lonnie's serve here. And keep in mind that, of course, you're welcome, Austin. Apologize for missing last week. All these videos coming in, sometimes I miss. Okay, so Lonnie's going to serve, and okay, so with Lonnie's serve, let's go slow here. Based on his serve motion, I like his stance. I don't know how much I would move the foot to the left like I do yet. I don't know if that's going to work. I like that first move. Okay, so this is good. I mean, I like what I see here. See how the racket face is closed? It's not opening here. So this is great. Good job, Lonnie. Okay. Now, right in here, this gets interesting. Right in here, see how the elbow kind of tucks in? Meaning it comes this way. It doesn't tuck into the body, but it goes from right here. I think he's going to keep turning, but he actually brings the racket and the elbow comes this way. And he's got a quick motion. So what's happening, and I don't know what kind of changes Lonnie wants to make on his serve, if he wants to change his technique, at what level, but that toss is a pretty low toss. He's got good extension. What I would say is, can we do a little more turn there and let the toss get up a little bit more? So slow everything down. I don't know. It could really mess things up. It might help to start in a three-quarter serve with the racket down here and don't rush the motion so much. And then again, can you practice your trophy position? Can you practice getting into this position more and do these holds? Because if you hold this position, if your body can do it, you're going to get stronger there. If you can't get there, that's a clue. If you can't get into this position, it's a clue that your body can't do it. And that's where the corrective exercises come in. So Lonnie, I would practice your trophy position. I would practice the three-quarter serve. So I'd practice the three-quarter serve right here, which is in the serve drills module. So basically when you release the ball, look at where my racket is when I release the ball. See where it is? And we'll compare it to yours. So you're just a little bit higher than I am. Just a little bit. Just a little. So I've tried to get this racket. I've just tried to slow things down a little bit. See if you can get this tossing arm straighter as well. You just don't give yourself a chance to get to that trophy. I would try to slow it down a little bit. And then this idea that your hand is above your elbow here. I can't tell on your grip if it's continental. It looks like it's continental, but this goes back to being able to open up the chest. So, can't tell where you live, Lonnie, but working with a therapist that can help you with your thoracic rotation and your thoracic mobility would help you be able to drop the racket easier. Doing the exercises that are in the membership area would help you as well. So I'm going to leave it there. Your motion, you have a good motion. There's a lot of potential there. There's a lot of good things that can happen. Let me summarize this. What I would do is when you release the ball, I try to maybe delay this a little bit more and I'd work on my trophy position. I'd try to get my trophy to look a little bit more like mine. This up, a little more turn, slow this down. And then I would work on opening up my chest so that I can drop the racket. I mean, Lonnie, you're 80 years old. It's unbelievable. Seriously, like you have a nice motion. I think, you know, when you think about, okay, how can you maximize the next, you know, let's assume you're going to live till you're 125. You got another 40 years of tennis, right? How can you maximize it? I don't know if it is spending a ton of time on your serve technique. It might be spending, if you're 80% of your time when you're not on the court is going to be mobility drills. So doing all the mobility drills, working with someone personally to help you. And like, if I were in your shoes, what I would do is I would find the best therapist in your area around performance. And I'd go to them and say, my online tennis coach says I need to work on my thoracic rotation and mobility and my ability to side bend. And if I know where you live, I might be able to think of some folks that I know in my network, but that's what I would do. Because if you can keep your body mobile, then you can play at a high level for the next 10, 15, 20 years. So that's where I would go with it. But again, your motion looks great. And I'm proud of you that you're still active and you're serving well and you're sending videos in. How about that? Tonight, we've got an 8-year-old on the call and someone in their 80s, 8 to 80. I mean, isn't this the greatest sport in the world? Freaking love it. Unbelievable. Everybody should give Lonnie a round of applause for one, sending a video in, being so active and working on his game. Okay. I've got to get to Chin from last week. I got to get to Juan from last week. I got to get to Wes from last week. I got to get to Kim from last week. So thanks for your patience, gentlemen. I should have gone to you guys at the beginning of the call, but I got carried away. So let me handle Chin, Juan, Kim, and Wes. And then the rest of the folks, we're going to have to go next week. Okay. I've just simply run out of time. So let me handle those and let me go to Wes first. So Wes is, I think it's safe to say, Wes is definitely a super fan of Tennis Evolution. He's talked about how his game has improved and transformed, music to my ears, of course. I want to read you what he had to say, recently. Let's see if I can find it. Actually it was just, oh yeah. Coach Jeff wanted to let you know that I'm moving forward in my journey. I have a few 4.0 wins under my belt, thanks to your training program. My last opponent was Maxwell. He's a good buddy of mine. 2 years ago, he beat me 9-1 in a pro set, and now I've settled the score with 2 wins against him. Also, the biggest news I have is that I split sets with a former D1 college player from New York last Saturday. He just moved here due to coronavirus and was a bit out of shape, but his strokes were definitely D1 quality. I won my practice set 6-4 by playing smart, wearing him down. Not backing down to the challenge of training with him really provided me a mental boost. Every match is unique and anything can happen. I'm looking forward to keeping the training up and beefing up my serve with your serve fundamentals course. See you on the call on Wednesday. Wes, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to share the insights that are working for you. You sent in a question last week and it's a popular one with players. And here's the question. Could you talk about resisting the urge to overhit balls with no pace? I completely botched a floater second serve from my opponent last night by hitting too hard to a small target. Would drilling the pocket follow through be the best way to put reins on the unbridled power? Okay. So this is a great question because the put away forehand, the ball coming slow, the second serve return. I mean, it's a beast. It really gives people a lot of trouble. Wes is saying night and day difference. Thanks to Jeff. Thank you, Wes. Let me share my screen and show the lesson. So this lesson right here is in module 6, master the put away forehand. And Wes, you know, how do you resist the urge to overhit? I think you have to put your attention on something other than obviously overhitting. And the number one thing when someone's overhitting, these are two things that I try to help people with. Number one is their target. And you can see when you're going to go big and you want to overhit, you're going to go to the biggest possible target, which you alluded to in your email. And you can see the target right here. You're going to hit the ball right over the center strap as hard as you want, right? You can overhit this if you go down the middle of the court. So don't play it close to the sideline. Go right down the middle as hard as you want. Now, the second part, when I say as hard as you want, is you must be balanced. So if you don't have balance, you have no business swinging out of your shoes. So I really focus on the putaways. I focus on my balance. That's a key trigger word for me. It's like have balance and make sure I'm balanced at the end of the stroke. So if I'm aiming to a big target and I have great balance, then good things can happen. So if you watch this player right here, he gets a second serve. He comes up to the ball and see how he loads this outside leg. And then when he goes to swing, notice how he's going to land on his front leg and he kicks this leg back. It's called the back to front. And then you mentioned earlier, finish to the pocket. Okay. So you can, if it's a high ball, you can finish down. If it's a lower ball, you can finish up. But this is balance right here. And my guess is that you're either over rotating or you're not on balance when you're done. So you want to load the leg and you want to kick back and you want to be on balance. And he's going right through the middle. So it's target and it's balance. And then the finish, as you mentioned, it goes down to the pocket. Now, if you're missing this ball in the net, you can actually use a buggy whip on this. I used to, when I got really tight, I would use buggy whips on my put away forehand to make sure that I cleared the net. Bingo. I was closed stance when I missed and off balance. That miss still haunts me. Yeah. Open up. If it's shoulder height, open up your stance and use the back to front and make sure that you can kick that back leg back for balance. Okay. Just checking on a few. I'm also going to get, let's see. There's another question I'm going to answer here. Just give me a moment. I just remembered there's a question here. I'm going to. Okay. So I'm going to answer Jerome's question. And Jerome, I think you're on the call. Thanks so much for being a supporter all these years. I appreciate you. And last week I did answer your other question that you had, but I want to make sure I get this one. Question for Jeff. After you stabilized your service toss, what is your best advice on body and shoulder rotation to achieve a proper racket drop before the strike? Perhaps a better question would, what typical errors made after reaching the trophy position? So this is a great question because it falls right in line with what we just talked about with Lonnie and what we talked about with others tonight. So in this progression of the serve, the first thing you have to get right is your grip, your starting position, and your stance. That's your foundation. And then the second thing you've got to improve is your trophy position. And now the question is, what happens after that? Well, first of all, 95 or 99% of people never get to this position where we're talking about what happens after trophy. Of course, we get there. People are hitting serves all day long, but most people are inefficient with their grip, their stance, their start, and their trophy. So if you don't fix those things, then everything after can be impacted. But the next step in the line, Jerome, and we've talked about it tonight, and I'll share the screen again, is that racket drop and the opening of the chest. So if I pull up my half serve, I'll do my half serve because it's not as extreme as the topspin. But being able to open up the chest, the thoracic mobility and opening and dropping the racket is next. So this is not a kick toss. This is a first serve toss. And what I want you to notice is look at my body there. Okay. Look at my body and how it's bowing there, how it opens up. My chest opens up. And so most players have to rotate into the shot and face the net more instead of going up to the ball and opening the chest. You simply, if you have breathing restriction, rib cage restriction, again, thoracic mobility, that's the next thing, Jerome. It's all about, can I open up my chest? Can I open up my chest, but can I also have the strength in my glute muscles so that I don't have a big arch in my low back? We want to avoid that. Okay. All right. So Kim had a question. Please give your favorite tips on use of the wrist on the topspin forehand and the slice backhands. Okay. So this one, talking about use of the wrist on the forehand and the slice backhand. So let me see if I can find what I want to find on, okay, use of the wrist. Unbelievable. We have 37 people on the call right now. Incredible. And it's like quiet. I feel like I'm talking to myself. I wish we could get in person someday. By the way, if I did an in-person seminar, would you come? Would you want to come? Would you come check it out? We've done it before with up to 8 players. Very intimate, couple days approach. Let me know if you'd be interested when the new normal, if we ever can do that again. Okay, we're talking about forehands now. And we're going to talk about the slice. So let's tackle the slice first. All right, so we got the slice backhand, use of the wrist. So I don't really know how to answer this, Kim, other than I'm just going to break this down. You can see my wrist position here. Basically, you know, I treat it almost like a backhand volley. You know, I don't have it like this, but I also don't have it like this. It's just pretty neutral. So my wrist is neutral. I've got a continental grip. And from here, my wrist isn't doing, it's not curling or flexing or extending. What I want you to see though is look how open the racket face is. This is the thing that people don't get on the slice. Look at how open the racket face is, but watch when I go to make contact, I square the racket face up. So essentially it's more of a forearm move. It's not a wrist move. It's a forearm move, not a wrist move. So what I want you to see is when I take the racket back, the back of my hand is pointing more up towards the sky in the backswing, right there, okay? And then when I go to hit the ball, I square the racket up. So I go from palm down to palm back. And I keep the wrist neutral the whole time. So there is no wrist play at all. It's all shoulder and then forearm rotation to square up the hit. And I don't even really think about squaring up right here. It just kind of happens naturally, but I do see people curling under the ball as they make contact. So it could help to right when you make contact, you want to think about squaring up a little bit more right here. So I hope that makes sense on the use of the wrist for the slice backhand. So with the forehand here, use of the wrist. So the way I try to look at it is my hand is just pretty relaxed on the racket. I'm not gripping it too tight. And when I go to swing, and you'll even see here, I have what's called a tail. Look at how big my backswing is. That's too big of a backswing. But here's what's interesting. I got to 100 in the world with that backswing. That's one reason why I don't obsess over big backswings as much as maybe other coaches do, because I know that I achieved a high level with an inefficient forehand. Now, I wish I would have made it more efficient because then I probably would have had a better career. But you can be a successful player with a big backswing. But the use of the wrist, I don't really think about what I'm doing with the wrist. And maybe that's not the answer you want to hear, Kim. But the way that like I'm able to kind of lag right there, and Federer and others can lag, is that I have the flexibility so that my wrist can go back, right? But I'm not forcing it back. The way that it's going back is because of what? I'm relaxed. I'm like water. So I feel like I'm here, palm down. And then when I go forward, it lays back, just like the serve, palm down, it lays back. Okay. Palm down, it lays back. Forehand, palm down, lays back. So that's the move right there with the wrist, is it's here And then right when you go forward, this flips back like that. And that's how you get the power. Most people, when they swing, they're so locked. So instead of thinking about what to do with the wrist, what I would focus on is how do I get more relaxed? How do I get my hand to soften so it's like a wet noodle when I swing? And some people say, well, don't I need to squeeze at contact? You probably will naturally squeeze the right amount at contact. I think people squeeze too tight. So we need to loosen it up. Okay. All right. So you guys all want to come to clinics. That's amazing. So cool. I love it. Yuri, you're still in the mix, buddy. Thank you. Very cool. Thank you, everybody. All right. So we're going to move right along here. We got a couple more questions to answer tonight, and then we'll do it again next week. Okay. We'll do another call next week. We'll get to the folks that were not covered tonight. I want to get to Michael actually as well, because Michael sent in a video. So let me get to Michael. Now, Michael sent in a video last year. I have actually moved all the lessons onto a hard drive. I didn't pull it up tonight. So I can't remember if there's, you know, the before and after, if it's changed much. I know Michael is working on the half serve based on my recommendation. I might sound like I'm saying the same thing that I said throughout the call tonight. I like players starting in the half serve. I like this stance a lot. You can see that when Michael serves, the racket's still right when he gets ready here. See how it's right here? It could be a little bit more to the right. So again, if you see the difference here, and I'm just splitting hairs, it's not a be all end all, but it will help. Look how far to the right my hand is compared to Michael. It's very similar to Amir earlier tonight. Now, when Michael tosses the ball, look at what he does. See how he bends his knees? That looks like one of the juniors we talked about earlier tonight. See how he's bending his knees just a little bit. It's a subtle thing, but it is a big deal. Look at how straight my legs are. Okay, look at how straight my legs are. So right when I toss is when I bend. So Michael, what I'd like to see is you keep your legs completely straight and you do not bend, because I believe it throws rhythm off, timing, tempo. Okay. So you would keep it straight. Now, when you toss the ball right here, and this gets back to, is it physically hard to do, or is it just muscle memory and you just got to work on it? What I would do is work on that first move. So as the ball is released, notice, Michael, you're not really turning your shoulders here. So what I want to see is, again, without even hitting the ball, I would toss the ball and see if you can get more to this position, even if it gets 20% better. Even if we start to see the elbow over here and we see the shoulder come back, that would be a huge help. Another recommendation that I can give, and Herman pointed this out to me when we did a call earlier this week. Where is that drill? Let's see if I can find it. Well, I'm going to try it this way. Bear with me for a moment, everybody. First move. Okay, well, this is the best we can do for now. But what I want you to see is you could come up to the net or the fence, and you can do the half serve drill doing this. So it might be better to use a fence. You don't want to hit the fence, obviously. But the idea is that your first move, we want to see your shoulders start to turn. And I don't see the shoulders turning here. So we want to see like your shoulders are on a swivel here. And we want to see this move. We want to get to here. And once you get to here, then you can really release into the ball. So that's the part that's missing, Michael, is that turn. Okay. So I would work on that. And again, I would keep doing the body correction exercises. I'd like to see this contact point over here. So if the contact point is over here, that may mean it's hard to side bend. Now, I don't have any, the side bending, the thoracic rotation exercise. Again, if you go to injury prevention module and you do the breathing exercise and the thoracic rotation exercise, even the 90-90, we want to get players looking more like this instead of, you see how Michael's a little bit over on to the side. We want to get him, see how I just lifted my arm up. So it's more above my head or above my shoulder like this. We want right where my arrow is. That's where we want the ball position ideally. Okay. So he's doing a good job of actually staying sideways here, but I think it would set up a little bit better if there was more turn. So I would work on that turn and don't even hit the ball. Just turn and hold, trophy position hold, which we talked about we talked about earlier. Again, it doesn't have to look exactly like mine. I realize that I can get into the position because I've been training like this a long time, but look at me holding this position, blinking my eyes and holding. So if I come back just a little bit, lost it. Where'd it go? Here we go. So Michael, if you can hold the position and look more like this, I think your serve's going to improve. And then from there, you're going to try to reach up and hit the ball more above your head if you can. Look at it. I got to improve my body. I got to get more mobile so I can reach up like this instead of being over here. Okay. If there's any type of shoulder tension or lat tension or spine tension, that will impact this. And then you do the drills where you could even reach up, could reach up against a fence like this and put the racket up against the fence. See if you can get this racket more over here. Okay. This could be our longest call. Yeah. Yeah, Mike, the grip is too Eastern. I'd like to see it more continental as well. Okay. Who is next? We are going to go to, I know Todd, you had, Todd, you're on the call tonight. And I don't know if you sent in a video. Let's see. Yeah, I don't see, you might have, if you didn't, I'll definitely get to you next week, Todd. So I apologize. I want to get to Chen because I didn't get him last week and I want to get to Juan. So Juan's question is, I've been struggling with my consistency. Sometimes my serve goes long, sometimes in the net. And when I'm tired, my serve goes away. I don't know if it's a technical error or mental. So Juan, what I would do is I would send in a video so I can take a look. It's probably a combination of everything. But one thing I wanted to share with you tonight, Juan, and thank you for your patience. So I'm going to share my screen here and we're going to talk about going long and in the net. So, all right. So one of the biggest mistakes that players make, and I know one coach, there's a player on here that's worked with a coach that talks a lot about hitting to sections of the box. So I think there might be four sections or three sections or maybe even six sections. But I personally think that a lot of players aren't good enough to hit the targets at their level. So I'm a big fan of hitting through lanes. So I don't know if you've seen this video before, Juan, but what I would do, instead of hitting so close to the lines, which I don't know if you do that or not, I would aim to through a lane. So here's my lane. When I was nervous on the tour and I needed to hold serve, I would serve right down the middle of the box through the lane. And I'd get 70% of my serves in first serves. You can also move the lanes over, but you just don't want to play so close to the line. So look at my lanes right here. I'm not trying to hit this cone. I'm trying to hit between these lanes, like hitting through a road. I think if you start to visualize hitting through lanes and you bring your margins in, your consistency will go way up. If you're hitting the ball long, you've got to, I know this is going to sound weird, but you've got to hit the ball lower over the net. So you need to aim for the tape or just above the tape and look at a window. I like to look at an imaginary window above the net. So instead of thinking about technique when you play, look at the imaginary window. If you're hitting in the net a lot, that probably means one, you need to raise your window over the net, but two, you need to listen for the sound, because I always say that if you hit your serve clean, it's probably not going to go in the net a lot. If you're mishitting your serve just a little bit, like, you know, that sound, it's not quite, it's going to dump into the net. The serves go long when you get a lot of contact on the ball. You know, when you really pop it, those are the ones that go long. So first you want to be popping your serve, making a nice sound, and then you want to be making sure your aim is correct with your window over the net. So those are two things. Hitting through lanes and hitting through imaginary windows could make a huge difference with your serve. technique, mental, that's where I would put my focus. I've seen huge transformations in 5 minutes. The other thing is to give yourself a trigger word. So when you're serving, you could tell yourself to hit up. When you hit a good serve, you could say yes. You could say the word window. You could say the word lane. You could say the word pop it or the phrase. You want to be basically brainwashing your mind on what you're going to do next instead of saying what you're doing wrong. So a lot of players are always thinking in the negative of what they're doing wrong. I want you to be proactive on what you're going to do with short, choppy phrases. They're called trigger words or anchor words. Okay. Hey, Michael, thanks. I think it's more muscle memory. I do the exercises every day. Yeah. So what I would do, Michael, is if it's muscle memory, don't hit the ball. Just work on your trophy position every day and send in a video or a picture of the trophy. And then you're going to have to serve into a fence. Don't even hit over the net. With that being said, I know you want to work on your technique and everybody else wants to work on their technique, but you also have to think about how much time do I want to devote to changing my technique versus how much time do I want to devote to other aspects of my game that could help me improve? And everybody's a little bit different. So I love it when players try to work on their technique on their serve, but I also know that it doesn't always translate to better results, especially right away. So you just have to keep that in mind. But again, the progressions, the way I would break it down, instead of trying to get it with the ball and hitting over the net, I'd try to get better at trophy position without hitting the ball. And I try to get better at this move by serving into a fence. You're welcome, Juan. Mike says, I like Jeff's kick serve high over the net, then drops in. Thanks. And it's just a function of, you know, getting the right technique down that allows me to do that. Okay. So we're going to get close to wrapping up here. I got Wes. I'm going to finish with Chin tonight. So Chin, and then what we'll do with Chin is we'll get him again next week because he sent in a bunch of videos and get him. Exactly. Oh yeah. Erwin, thank you for telling Juan where that lesson is. It's also in the Serve Fundamentals Unlocked. Okay. So Chin said, I'm still working on consistency on the ground strokes. I'm sending you videos of me doing drills with the ball machine as well as singles match. I'm focusing on doing my drills correctly. Okay. So Chin, let's get him rocking here. So we'll look at some ground strokes and then we'll do some net play next week. This is going to be the final video of the evening or the final concepts. Like I said, this might be our longest call ever, but we want to make sure we take care of everybody. All right. So this is Chin. It's a 4.0 player out on the East Coast. That's a really nice shadow stroke right there. I know it might be hard to see. It looks good. Great shadow stroke there. He's shadow stroking the Tennis Evolution method. It's great. I wonder if he's going to hit the ball. Maybe he's just, yeah, he's starting the ball machine now. Here we go. So this is great for him to be working on this. What I would do there is what he just did is I would hold the finish longer. So when he did his backhand there, watch. I would hold this position right here longer. He comes out of it too fast, but especially the backhand, watch this. Backhand, I would hold that for like 2 seconds and really get used to that feeling even with the eyes closed. So hold your finish positions longer. All right, here comes the ball. So that was a miss hit on the first one. So let's see if we can find out what's going on here. Okay. Number one thing I see. So first of all, I think his technique is pretty good. I mean, maybe the hand could be a little bit higher, but he's got a lot of good stuff happening here. I probably wouldn't mess. I might raise the hands up a little bit. His hands are a little bit low. So I might raise the hands right here, but overall he's in range. Where things get him in trouble is when he goes to swing he could get a little more extension. So even right there, you see how he's almost choking himself. What I would like to see him practice is when he's done with his swing right here, look at the difference. Let me go see if I can find, let me go find my video from earlier. Well, this will be a good one. This is from the back. Look at this. Oh, that's the backhand. Apologize. Let me find the forehand. Here we go. Vertical swing path. We showed this earlier. Okay. So what I want you to see is look at how high my hand is. My hand is above my head. Okay. And look where I'm catching it out in front. Watch this. Watch my hand here. Look at my hand right there. Okay. So if we think about positions and modeling, look at the difference. And I know it's small, but his hand just gets to about nose level. My hand is way above my head. So chin's got to go a lot more low to high and a lot more out here. He gets to this position too fast. So there's not enough extension. And there's not enough low to high. And I teach this all day long. If people want depth and extension, that ball went in the net. Because everything in the backswing is pretty good. That's pretty good. It's more, for me, it's more his spacing. So when he's making this contact here, he's not extending enough right there even. He's trying. I know he wants to finish high. He's following the system, but he's got to exaggerate almost catching it. Look where I'm catching my hand out here. He's got to catch it out here. I learned this from Robert Lansdorf, the guy coached five number ones. I took lesson from him. He has everybody extend like this, forehand and backhand. Absolute game changer. Okay. So more extension from chin. That was a better one actually. So that one, he actually extended a little bit more. See, look where the hand went. It went above, almost above his head there. So that was a better one. And it went, and I could tell it went high and deeper. Look at this. That's better too, but he still could do more. Okay. But he's on the right track. So let me get, if there's a backhand in here. Might be a different day even. That's a great swing. So I can tell chin's definitely improved. He could do what's called a switch pattern here. So if you look in the forehand footwork section, forehand bonus footwork section right here, he could work on what's called a switch pattern where you load this leg and you land on this leg. That's down the road. A little more advanced, but just I'm planting seeds. Overall looking good. I want to see if there's a backhand in here. And then we'll finish. This will be it. Here we go. Let's see this. Oh, this is a slice. I can't tell where that hit on the strings, but a lot of times on the slice, people hit. Yeah, I can't tell, so I'm not going to comment. Might be more forehands, more extension. There we go. Backhand. Okay. Okay, so this is good. So look at this swing right here. First of all, his movement to the ball. I'm going to be loading all the footwork into the bonus module, backhand bonus footwork module, but the way he moves to this ball is not like the pros. So he steps across like this. I'll see if I can find the video tonight to show you. But the biggest thing is look at his finish. Look at where the racket goes. See how it goes across and low right there? Again, what I want him to work on, and I think I pulled this video up. I'm going to close these down. Here you go. Watch this. One-handed backhand right here. Look at this. So I want you to see, look at where my hand is. It's way above my head, way above my head, two different finishes. Let's look at, sorry, this is what happens at the end of the call. I get a lot of, look at where his hand is. See that? See how it's shoulder height. Look at my hand. It's at least 6 inches above my head. So when he swings, he has to work on this. So look at the common theme. And this is with everybody. Practice finishing higher. Practice finishing higher. Now, when you get inside the baseline, you can lower your finishes. But he's on the baseline. And you're just going to be a little slappier if you go across like that. He's got to go more low to high. Let me see if I can find the footwork. So I want you to see the footwork again when he moves to this ball. Step across, one, two, three. Most people say, well, what's wrong with that, Jeff? Nothing's really wrong with it, but it could be more efficient. So I'm going to find the video for Raul with the two-handed backhand, but it's going to be the same concept. So what I want you to see here, is now I'm not running across, but what I want you to see is I'm stepping and I'm shuffling. So I step and then watch what I do here. I shuffle. So see how both feet go together? So I step and then I shuffle. That's what he could practice doing over to this ball. So what he could do is he could step across like this, and then the next two steps would go together. He would shuffle across. And so it's a rhythm move. And again, I'm going to load this up into the bonus module. Maybe we can talk about it next week. But another way to do it is what's called the shuffle step hit. And this is what Federer does all the time. So, and I know this is a two-hander, but it's the same. It works the same. What I want you to see here is when you see the ball comes to the side, watch what I do here. I step out, I shuffle without crossing over, and then I step in. So what I want long-term here is I want chin, not even long-term, I want chin to shuffle across and then step into the ball. And people say, wait a minute, you can't, if you shuffle first, you can't get to this ball. You absolutely can. You absolutely can get to this ball. So it's a footwork thing for him getting the ball. The first thing I would have him do is step, shuffle, hit, which is what I showed first, although I showed the forward pattern. I'll show it next week moving across so you understand it. But then the second would be to shuffle and then step. So his footwork's a little off, but notice how I went second with that. The first thing is his finish. I'd run over and I'd have him work on finishing higher. Okay. Nice unit turn. Yeah, there's a lot to work with. I think Chin can really improve a lot if he can work on his finishes. And then we get his footwork more clear on his footwork. He can get a lot better. All right. We are almost at 8 o'clock. We've been going for nearly 2 hours. I'm going to need a hot bath after this one. I poured my heart and soul into these 2 hours to help you all out. I'm glad that you were a part of it. Thank you so much for the call. And again, we usually do a call once a month, but with all of the demand, I'm planning on doing another bonus call next week. Thank you, everyone. The recording will be up Monday or Tuesday of next week. Shawshank, we'll get to you next week as well. I've got you on the list. And Wes, you're welcome. Mike, you're welcome as well. Thank you. It's a lot of content to cover. The recording you can review over and over again, and we'll see you next week. Thanks so much. Greg, thanks. Matt says, thank you. Juan, have a good night. Thank you. You guys are awesome. I really appreciate the passion that you all bring, sending your videos in, wanting to improve, wanting to get to the next level. Thank you, and over and out.